Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat Hamilton, the producer of VFN Radio, and we want to welcome all of our listeners all across the country and the world. Pat, good morning, good day. How are you doing?
Good morning.
I saw those eyes, Chris. If you could only see that, these eyebrows speak on this side here. I tell you, for a man, a few words. Those facial gestures, I mean, they should come out with a book, Pat-isms, okay? And a picture book.
That would be boring. That would be terrible.
Trust me. Those, the wrinkle on a forehead says one thing.
Mm-hmm.
The one eyebrow does another thing.
Uh-huh.
And then the sign language when he brings out the hand. When he brings out the claw. Well, I tell you, maybe we can work on that. Available. But we can get to that. We have an exciting program for you today.
Getting more exciting by the moment. I can hardly contain myself.
Well, listen. Once we make these pictures available, trust me, we will have plenty to talk about. Man, there's so much going on. Snow, another storm. But I do want to give a special shout out to my little girl. Today is her birthday.
Oh, happy birthday!
Happy birthday, Maya Bella. She's 4 years old, as she would say.
She's four years old.
And my goodness, time flies, man. Time flies. I can't believe it's like, oh my goodness, so big talking, and I'm like, man, no more baby. This is it.
Mm-mm.
But I was just thinking about that this morning, and so I was getting ready, and man, I just love being a dad. I love being a father. Father, I know you do as well, Pat. So many wonderful opportunities that we have, with our children. And I see such an amazing trend going on these days. I was speaking to my uncle one time, and he says, man, things are so different these days. He said, when I was working and raising children, it was always about just working, and it was easy to lose track. We thought that we were doing what we were supposed to do. And he goes, I look back and I see some of the things I could have done better and some more times. But, we were just talking about life. And he was saying that he's noticed, in my life and some of the, guys that we know that that tide has turned. And I've seen it too. I've seen it a lot, even in culture. But the tide is turning and the hearts of the fathers are turning to the children and the children's hearts are turning to the fathers. And we had a 10-year prophecy, a mandate to really see that all unfold. And I really know that that had a significant impact, not only in the Gulf Coast, but I know those ripple effects all the way to Indore, India, I believe.
No doubt.
I mean, when they're hearing in India and taking a flight over to, where is the Gulf Coast, right?
All right.
I mean, the word has gotten out. So happy birthday. I have a son's birthday is tomorrow, so we're going to keep the happy birthday shout outs going. But
Tomorrow,
yeah.
How'd you manage that?
Listen, I don't know. He was praying real hard that she wouldn't be born on his birthday. He's like, any day but my birthday. And the day before his birthday, she was born. So how about that?
Wow.
Yeah, very, cool. Very interesting. But Pat, let's talk about, 2 weeks ago, the South was really hit hard. I mean, the North has been hit. Ever since I've left Jersey, it seems like it just keeps snowing and snowing and snowing. I'm told a special shout out to Sophia and Tony and Crystal and Joanne out there in New York and in the Bronx and in Jersey. They're telling me that the snow, Pat, is so high now that they're stacking it like mountains. They said they don't know where else to keep stacking all the snow.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you go into a parking lot to park a car, man, and all of a sudden now the snow is so high because they have to push it to the side, you can't see the other side of the street.
Oh, wow.
So it's like kind of like there's walls around these parking lots. Right. You can't see anything. But we're expected to have another storm, much of the southeast and even headed up to the northwest. What happened 2 weeks ago crippled so much of the southern states. I think about Atlanta, Georgia, that, I mean, it was a complete mess. Some of these folks were in traffic for 20 hours, and they didn't know how to respond to it. I know on the Gulf Coast, where there were some accidents and some ice and made, traveling and driving real difficult. We want to keep everyone in prayer during this time. This is really unprecedented. I mean, seems that we're saying that we're more and more these days, mm-hmm. but you really want to be careful. It's not that important, really, to get on out and go get something and go to the store. Stay in the house. And for those that are in the Northeast, I want to encourage you, crank up that heat some, because if you lose power, at least the house is going to stay a little toasty for you. Mm-hmm. And check on your neighbors. You know, you have a lot of folks that are shut in, and maybe they weren't able to get the supplies and the things that they needed. This is a wonderful opportunity to reach out to your neighbors and show them the love of God. Be there for them in their time of need. And I want you to listen up a little bit more about what CBN has to report as they share with us what we can expect.
In Israel, the southeast is bracing for another winter storm. Substantial snow and ice are expected to cripple the region. Winter storm watches, warnings, and advisories have been posted all the way from the Texas-Mexico border to the New Jersey shoreline. The south is bracing for another blast of winter misery. The forecast across the south calls for a dangerous mix of snow and ice. In Georgia, the storm is expected to dump more snow than the 2 inches that paralyzed Atlanta 2 weeks ago. That winter storm created gridlock on interstates in Atlanta, forcing some residents to sleep in their cars, trapping thousands of students in their schools. Now forecasters predict Georgia could see the most significant ice storm in 10 to 20 years. State officials say this time they're ready. Georgia's governor declared a state of emergency ahead of the storm.
We are making every effort to be prepared for these events. And I would simply say that we should all individually use extreme caution.
Frigid temperatures and precipitation are expected to create an icy mess from northeast Texas to the Carolinas. In the Midwest, freezing rain, sleet, and snow have been causing headaches for motorists.
We're used to having the roads scraped to the pavement back east, and it's not the way they do it here.
Some parts of Virginia could pick up a foot of snow. In North Carolina, residents stocked up on food and supplies.
We sold everything we could get our hands on.
Utility crews around the country are trying to restore power to thousands of families who've been in the dark for a week. Meanwhile, wicked weather is also happening out west. Some in California are still cleaning up after heavy rains and snow triggered mudslides. And in Utah and Colorado, two people were killed by avalanches and heavy snow, including 21-year-old student Ashley Cox, who spent last summer helping at an orphanage in Romania. Winter storm watches are in effect for Washington, D.C., Baltimore, and Philadelphia, where at least 5 inches of snow are possible.
Wow, amazing, amazing, amazing. My understanding is that 60 trucks from Houston, power trucks, are headed over to Georgia to help them out, for when they lose power. And you were seeing things. Listen, when you're hearing statements like this is the most significant mm-hmm. ice storm in 10 to 20 years, I think it's time to pay attention, to look up, and not to discredit mm-hmm. these obvious signs. I mean, sure, there are so many signs and that you can pick from and look at, but my goodness, we shouldn't ignore any of them.
No.
And this is a big deal. I mean, this is really, really a big deal. And I just keep thinking about John Paul Jackson's prophetic word that he's shared called the Perfect Storm, where it talks about five elements mm-hmm. that were really going to encompass this storm. And one of them was just the weather patterns would be complete. And this was back in 2008, so we're probably looking at least 4 to 5 years ago. And the beginning, he said, this will start when you see Mubarak, the president of Egypt, basically be ousted.
Mm-hmm.
And just as the prophetic word happened, and who would have thunk that? Because that was really a big deal, considering that I believe he was in power for something like 30, 40 years.
Right.
And he was basically, complying with the United States was working well with him because they were keeping peace on that Egypt-Israeli border, and things were going seemingly okay in that region. So there would be no indication, obvious indication, that he would be overthrown or released. And sure enough, he was. And you just started to begin to see all this unfolding of this prophetic word. And I'll tell you, it's just time to be watchful, to be alert, and really right now to be in the middle of helping your neighbor. This is a perfect opportunity for folks in your area, not to, you know, get go in and close the door behind you, but actually take the time, put on a coat, you know, put on your ear, your earmuffs and some gloves and walk down your neighborhood and begin to knock on doors and let people know that you care about them and do they need anything. And, you know, we had a chance to do that when we lived up north, and people were shocked and surprised that someone would do that, but it would just open the door to minister to folks that needed a lot of help. So pray and be prepared. You know, Pat, just recently, we've been talking about the Affordable Health Care Act, the Obamacare is also known as, and there's been a recent development. According to CNN Money, the mandate has been eased, and it looks like they're pushing back the date where the mandate's going to go in force for small businesses. They're reporting that basically the administration is giving employers more time to comply with rules requiring them to provide affordable health insurance for their workers. And basically this is affecting mid-sized companies with the equivalent of 50 to 99 full-time employees. Kind of, they call them the mid-sized companies. They will not have to comply until 2016. And so this is, again, another change, another delay. This is something that the affordable health care, I mean, ever since it got implemented, it's supposed to start in January, they have seen one setback after the other. Started with a website that did not work at all, which is pretty embarrassing considering that, you know, the government really has unlimited spending power, and you would think that they could get a website that could work. And many are saying, many are saying that if you can't get a website to work, how can, you know, the government take over healthcare? But that's another story. But you see that there are people on both sides of this, you know, argument. You have folks that saying, hey, you know, the government doesn't need to be involved in this. And then you have folks who are saying, hey, we need this health insurance. But from a believer's perspective, from a Christian's perspective, we need to have an openness, and our heart should be one that, listen, it's a good thing. It's a good thing to be able to have health care that is going to help people in need. When you look at a country like ours, the United States, that is so blessed, and then on top of that, you look at the millions and billions of dollars that have been spent, that have been wasted. I mean, every year they do a report of the hundreds of millions of dollars that are wasted every year. Certainly we can do something about healthcare where it becomes more affordable for many families to be able to take care of, you know, the loved ones. Listen, you know, folks that say, oh, you know, you don't need to do this. You think about a young child. Think about a baby. Think about, you know, an elderly person who really needs medical attention. And I had the chance to be a chaplain, and I've spoken about this before on VFN Radio. But when you work in a hospital and you see all the patients that come in, people that come in with all sorts of ailments and diseases and accidents, you know, your heart really goes out to them, and you say, my goodness, you know, get them the help. And just recently, Pat, I had to go to the dentist. It wasn't a very fun experience.
No,
it wasn't. But it got me to thinking about healthcare and the importance of it. You know, I've got to get this bridge done, and it's a little bit of a complicated situation. But they had to extract the tooth, okay? You know, I was blessed to have insurance, so, you know, I'd go and schedule the appointment, and I'm thinking, you know, no big deal. And really, it isn't a big deal, but I sat down, and I thought everything was cool. I don't know what I was thinking, because all of a sudden, she pulls out this big old giant needle. And I go, what you gonna do with that? What's that for? I'm here for an extraction, right? I thought you're gonna give me some laughing gas and put me out. They said, we don't do that anymore. I said, what? You don't do that anymore? No, I expect to be totally knocked out for this.
Yeah.
And they said, oh no, you're gonna be awake. And I said, excuse me? So I'm sitting in this very nice dentist office in America, right? And I'm laying back in this comfortable chair, and she proceeds to stick me, not with just one needle, Pat, but I believe she stuck me with two needles in my gums.
Wow.
I'm like, ouch. Can't really say ouch because there's a needle there, you know? And I'm like, oh, that hurt.
Did you cry?
I didn't cry. And it wasn't super painful. It was just the idea that this needle is going in my gum, you know? Mm-hmm. This is, and after some time, my gum became more and more numb. And she comes in with these tools, right? And mm-hmm. she begins to start yanking on this tooth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm sitting there, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
And she's pulling hard on my tooth. My head is bobbing up and down. she's drilling and chipping away. I'm hearing a crushing. Now, in my head, I'm thinking, I feel my head moving. This should really be a painful experience. Right. I'm not experiencing pain right now. It was like all surreal.
Yet.
But, yeah. But I'm thinking at the same time, I'm thinking, wow, you know, here I am, you know, blessed to be having this done here, and I think about what happens to people in you know, third world countries. What happens to people that don't have insurance?
Mm.
You know, I mean, your teeth is no joke. I mean, I had a wisdom tooth one time that wasn't wisdom, as an abscess tooth, and the pain that I had in the tooth was so amazing, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
We're scheduled that day to do some ministry event or something. I couldn't even go. The pain was so bad in my head. It literally felt like I wanted to get a hammer and just smash my head in. It was like, I threw up. The pain was so bad.
Ugh.
Yeah, I mean, it was really, really horrible. But I got to thinking about, man, what about all the countless people that don't have insurance and not able to take care of these things? And, you know, I just got filled with so much compassion thinking, there's something that we can do. You know, it wasn't the end of the world. It was just a tooth.
Yeah. I can almost as bad as a cold, right?
Almost as bad as a cold. I had a flu that was pretty bad. I have to admit, I've had some people in the studio that thought that was funny. That I would compare a flu to being something horrible.
Yeah.
But it was. I had a very bad experience for an entire week. And I was in excruciating
pain. Did you get it on
video?
I just want to see this.
I don't have it on video.
Oh, okay.
But again, I was in pain.
Because, you know, we need some more evidence, you know, coming up.
Well, no, we don't need any more evidence. We don't need any more evidence. But it was a painful experience. Now, I have not suffered nearly as much as some others have suffered. what I did experience has caused enough sorrow and compassion, Chris, to be able to say, man, get people medical attention that need medical attention. There are people that are suffering way worse. I think about my poor dad. He went through so many medical situations, and he had a really bad back, and he needed so much medical care. And I'm blessed to know that he was able to get that attention. And I just think about all of our seniors and all of those folks that need the care. We must do something. How we're going to implement this and how this is going to work, we still need some strategy and some help in that, but I think we can all agree that they're in the most blessed country in the entire world. Surely, surely, we can get folks the help that they need to get. And listen, if we can't get a government system that works well, my goodness, why the church? Why can't we just go ahead and begin to provide folks health care and set something up where they can be taken care of? It's been done before. We just need to do it on a larger scale.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
How does a lawsuit against a city seal come before the court? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I know the ACLU they're out to, you know, rename every half the cities in the country, but how do these cases ever get into federal court?
Here's what happens. A citizen in the community generally objects, and they'll object to the symbol there, the crosses for La Cruces, New Mexico. And then there's been challenges against Corpus Christi, and that's the body of Christ. So that, they bring them in federal court, they get citizens in the area to say, quote, they're offended, and unfortunately, oftentimes, the court will say, well, offense, being, you know, looking at something is enough to bring a literal constitutional challenge, and that's how this happens.
The American Center for Law and Justice is committed to defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. To become more involved in protecting these freedoms, visit us at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Don't be deceived. Disciples make disciples. David Platt and Francis Chan tell us in the Multiply movement. Listen up.
I think we dilute what it means to be a disciple from the beginning. We want to give people an assurance. All right, you're saved. You said it. You raised your hand. All right, you're saved. Without really letting some time be there, not where they have to prove their salvation or earn their salvation, but letting some time be there to see, yeah, has there been a heart change? Like, is the Spirit of God in this person? I don't want to tell somebody, and as a pastor or just as a brother or sister. I mean, I love a person enough to say, hey, we'll wait and see. George Whitefield, preacher, Great Awakenings, thousands and thousands of people at a time. He'd be asked after he preached to thousands of people, how many people were saved? And he said, we'll see 6 months or a year from now. And I mean, that's so different from today. We're like, oh, we had this many or this. And he's not saying, well, they got to earn their salvation in the next 6 months. It's, and let's wait and see. And as people have a heart change, then I think they'll genuinely, when they read commands in Scripture, they'll say, I want to obey these. How do I obey these? And there'll be a desire there as opposed to what we often find ourselves doing. And that's saying, well, do this. And people walk away like the rich young ruler that you talked about earlier. Okay, I feel bad. I mean, I'm not going to do that. And there's just not been a fundamental heart change that then leads to life change and new purpose, new mind, new dreams, new passions. That really feeds into a desire to make the gospel known.
I mean, it's like the Multiply, it's the multiplymovement.com with Francis Chan and David Platt. This is so important. He said, go make disciples. If you don't have anybody in your life at this very moment that can disciple you, find somebody who will. Maybe vinefellowshipnetwork.org is for you. Or go to multiplymovement.com. He's called us to be disciples.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, it is time for the citizenship test. Woo! Oh my goodness. I'm so glad that we got a chance to take it. Okay. All right. It is time for the citizenship test, and we are about to find out the next five questions on the United States citizenship test to John and Pat. These are questions you have to answer correctly to be able to be a citizen of the United States. We're going to go quickly in it. Here's the first question coming up. This is going to be coming to John. John, here's the first question. The first question is, don't forget, you have to tell me you're ready to give me an answer because that's your final answer. That's your final answer. Here's the first question off the citizenship test. And everybody listen up. We can learn. I'm learning too. I'm learning that they don't know many of these answers. No, I'm learning too. Here's the first question. The first question is, out of five today, is what are two cabinet level positions? What are two cabinet level positions? Here's the question. What are two cabinet level positions? And realize now we learned on our last part of this test was the cabinet people are advisors to our president. So we're going to find out what are two cabinet level positions. What are two cabinet level positions, John?
Well, defense secretary and the secretary of state.
Hey!
There you go.
Make it like that.
Let me crank off a few real quick. Like, Secretary of Agriculture, Secretary of Commerce, Secretary of Defense, Secretary of Education, Secretary of Energy, Secretary of Health and Human Services, Secretary of Homeland Security, Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, HUD, that you hear about, Secretary of Interior, Secretary of Labor, Secretary of State, Secretary of Transportation, Secretary of Treasurer, Secretary of Veterans Affairs, Attorney General, and Vice President. Look at that. Isn't that awesome? Wow. All these different advisors to be able to help our president do the job that he or she needs to do.
There you go.
Number two for the day. The question is, on the citizenship test, what does the judiciary branch do? What does the judiciary branch do? Okay, here we are. This is the question for the citizenship test. What does the three branches of government, right? Mm-hmm. Judiciary, legislature, and executive. So this is the judiciary branch. What does the judiciary branch do, Pat?
I believe they make sure things are constitutional or not.
It's very good. They review the laws. They explain the laws, they resolve disputes or disagreements in the laws, and they decide if a law goes against the Constitution. That's why you hear people say that they should not be making laws from the judicial, from the judge's bench. You hear people say they're actually making laws by a court somewhere. Mm-hmm. And it's like, they're not supposed to make laws, they're supposed to interpret them, find out if it's constitutional, explain them to work out disputes between the law. But it's the Congress, it's the legislative branch that makes the laws. Mm-hmm. But we have people in the first different districts in America that are literally making law from the bench.
Legislating from the bench.
And that's against, now we know, that's against the Constitution. John, next question for today is, what is the highest court in the United States? What is the highest court in the United States? Okay, here it is. This question is, what is the highest court in the United States?
Alex, I'm feeling good today. What is the Supreme Court for 200?
Very good. Woo! That was very good. Oh, my goodness. We're on like a time crunch right here, but listen.
Confident.
Pat, here it is. Today's next question on the U.S. citizenship. Y'all are doing good today. Y'all might be able to stay. Unpack your bags. No self-deportation. How many justices are on the Supreme Court? Pat, how many justices are on the Supreme Court? All right. This one for the money. How many justices are on the Supreme Court?
There are 9.
Amazing. There are 8 associate judges and 1 chief judge. 8 associate judges and one chief judge. So there's a total of 9. Mm-hmm. Absolutely correct. It's very important not to have an even number, right?
That's all right.
If it's an even number, we'll get nowhere, right?
That's right.
And here is the last question. The last question today for the citizenship test goes to John. John, who is the Chief Justice of the United States? Who is the Chief Justice of the United States? Okay, here it is. Wow. The final question for today and for your U.S. citizenship. Who is the Chief Justice of the United States?
It'd be John Roberts.
Oh, my goodness.
Impressive.
Very, very good. And just a little trivial point here before we go. John Roberts was the deciding vote for the health care bill just recently. He ruled it as constitutional based on it's a tax. And the Congress has the right to tax. And he is the key person who made a ruling that brought health care to America.
Oh, my goodness. Aunties. Listen, if you're looking for some barbecue, you got to go get some ribs, some pulled pork, and so much more in Cantonment. You don't want to miss it. Highway 29th and go north and let your nose lead you the way. Visit Copy Products today with 5 locations on the Gulf Coast to better serve you. They can help you with all of your copying and scanning needs. Copy machines, fax machines, scanners, printers, shredders, and so much more. Contact them today at 850-432-1580.
On the Gulf Coast, contact Steve Barnhill's Paint and Body Shop with over 25 years of experience. No job is too big and no job is too small. Get in contact with them today. In New Jersey, Yolanda's Cocina Cubana. Excellent Cuban food. Delicioso. Go in and get some for you and for me today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I wanted to be able to tell you, if you haven't yet heard, that you can go to VFNTV.com and sign up for our newsletter. It's called The Torch. As a matter of fact, you're probably seeing it on your screen right now. You go right to the front page of the VFN Torch, and you click on, you see in the upper right-hand corner? You click on sign up for the newsletter, and there it is. You can sign up. You see the flame burning right there. Fill out your information here, push submit, and boom, every single week you will receive a newsletter with that week's program sliced up. Think about it, sliced up segments that, you know, whatever segments to you. I want to make sure you do that because we work extra hard to make sure that you can get it ever how you need to be able to get it. And because listen, if only 9% in 2009 had a biblical worldview, in other words, they had a light, L-I-G-H-T, perspective of the world, it's a lot less than that now. Mm-hmm. And with hearing the light of God's, you know, it's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. To have that light perspective of what's going on, it's going to help you have a biblical worldview of your decision making, of why you're going to get married or why you're going to need to stay married or why you need to have family or why you need to pay taxes, why you need to function. I mean, we got to move past that. And one thing we can do that is by signing up for The Torch and getting it sent to you every single week. Every single week. And in that, it has the offers and things that are going on as well.
The VFN Torch takes VFN Radio to the next level. Listen, you can't show pictures and you can't play videos when you're listening to the radio, but we have it available for you. Take it to the next level, linking resources. As a matter of fact, when you hear about one particular article or segment that's going on at VFN Radio, there might be four or five other segments that we did over that quarter or several months that you can tie together. Why? It's available for you. It's called the VFN Torch, just like the torch that Gideon carried, the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today in the studio is Pat Hamilton, and we want to welcome all of our VFN Radio listeners all around the country and the world. We have an exciting program for you, and we're excited to be talking with you here today. Pat, my goodness, I know that we have been sharing so much here on VFN Radio about some of the prophetic things that the Lord has shown us, some of the things that the Lord has shown others. Mm-hmm. And one of those things we've been talking about are the four blood moons that NASA, the space folks, mm-hmm. are predicting that are going to come over the next 15 months, starting April the 15th, tax day of this year, 2014. And Pastor John Hagee out of San Antonio, Texas, began to really search the scriptures and search history. And he put a book together and is also a message regarding the four blood moons. And what does that actually mean? What has happened throughout history when this rare occurrence has happened? And it's going to amaze you if you've never heard about this before, because it normally what has happened is that it begins in tears regarding horrible things that have happened to the nation of Israel and the Jews. And then towards the end of it, it results in joy. And so we have a segment for you on behalf of from CBN as they interview Pastor Hagee. He begins to share more about what is coming and how the signs in the heavens, God uses the heavens as his billboard to be able to communicate with us. And my goodness, God will tell us everything we need to know. We just need to pay attention and not discredit the ways that he communicates. I want you to listen up.
The book of Genesis says God uses the sun, moon, and stars for signs and seasons. Examples can be found throughout the Bible. Think of how a star led the wise men to Jesus, or the sun stood still as Joshua led Israel to victory over its enemies. According to Pastor John Hagee, God is getting ready to speak this way once again.
There's a sense in the world that things are changing, and God is trying to communicate with us in a supernatural way. I believe that in these next 2 years, we're going to see something dramatic happen in the Middle East involving Israel that will change the course of history in the Middle East and impact the whole world.
In his latest book, Four Blood Moons, Hagee lays out what he calls celestial signals. He describes how a series of blood moons in 2014 and 2015 will have great significance for Israel. Although single blood moons are a fairly regular occurrence, four of them appearing so closely together is extremely rare.
We've only seen a series of blood moons a handful of times over the past 500 years. So what exactly is a blood moon, and what is the biblical significance of it?
A blood moon is when the earth comes between the sun and the moon, and the sun is shining through the atmosphere of the earth and cast upon the moon a red shadow. And so the moon appears to be red.
Such moons appear in Scripture. In the book of Joel, God says there will be wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. In Acts, the Apostle Peter repeats that verse from Joel. And the book of Revelation says that during the Great Tribulation, the moon will become like blood. Blood moons are set to appear in April 2014 on Passover, and then again in September 2014 during the Feast of Tabernacles, or Sukkot. It's the same timing for 2015, for a total of four blood moons, all appearing on Jewish feast days.
The sun and the moon and the earth are controlled by God Almighty. He is the one that's getting them in a direct alignment on a certain day at a certain time, but each time it's a Passover or Sukkot.
In the past, the rare appearance of four blood moons on these feast days has coincided with major events for Israel and the Jewish people. 1492, Spain expelled the Jews. Columbus also discovered America, which became a safe haven for the Jewish people.
In each of these blood moons, you have something that begins with a tragedy and ends in triumph.
1948, Israel is reborn as a nation.
After 2,000 years, God supernaturally brought them from 66 nations, and a nation was born in a day. That, again, was a supernatural something that happened following the tragedy of the Holocaust.
1967, Israel wins the Six-Day War and recaptures Jerusalem.
For the first time in 2,000 years, Jerusalem and the State of Israel were together again.
The blood moons of 2014 and 2015 appear as Iran works towards nuclear weapons and Israel's neighbors, Egypt and Syria, are in chaos.
The end game is coming with this Iranian nuclear crisis.
The only reason Iran will not develop a nuclear bomb will be that Israel chooses a military solution to that crisis. I believe if that happens, that will start a series of events that will change the course of world history. If Israel does not, it will still change the course of world history.
Hagee warns of the Iranian nuclear threat through his work with Christians United for Israel, which he founded in 2006. It is now the largest pro-Israel organization in America, with some 1.3 million members. He also holds Knights to Honor Israel across the country and at San Antonio's Cornerstone Church, where he serves as senior pastor. The first event in 1981 drew bomb threats and vandalism from anti-Semites, yet Hagee continues his mission.
If there was ever a time for the Christians of America to stiffen their spine and stand up and speak up, it's now. To see evil and not call it evil is evil.
He says it's still unclear what the coming blood moons will bring, but he is certain of one thing.
When all is said and done, Israel is going to prevail. The flag of Israel will be flying over the walls of the city of Jerusalem when Messiah comes, and it's going to be forever. And every nation that rises up in judgment against Israel, God will punish and punish severely.
Eric Stackelbeck, CBN News, San Antonio, Texas.
Wow, this is amazing. This is amazing. We're seeing biblical prophecy, seeing all these things unfold in our generation. And it's important, if you missed that, that over the last 500 years, I mean, understand that America, to give you context, is only a couple hundred years old.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So even before the founding of our nation, we have seen this happen. And I'm not going to say coincidence, but you see how it affects Israel. The first time in 1492, when King Ferdinand expelled the Jews because they were not going to convert to Catholicism, he confiscated their property, and they had to leave. And that's when some of the Jewish people gave money to an explorer, Christopher Columbus, to find a place where they can worship God freely. And America was actually discovered, and the rest is history, as wow. they say. The second time happened in 1948 when Israel became a nation. And what's interesting about that is Pastor Hagee said that they came from 66 nations and in one day became a new nation.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting how there's 66 books in the Bible.
Yeah.
You know, that is like, cool. My goodness. It's hello, we need to pay attention. We need to pay attention. And just 11 minutes after they became a nation, the president, Harry Truman, declared Israel and confirmed and validated them as a country before the entire world with the full backing of the United States, which is very significant. And then, of course, the third time that this happened was during the six-day Yom Kippur War, when Israel was attacked and basically resulted in Jerusalem coming under the borders of Israel. And so when you hear of going back to 1967 border lines pre the Six-Day War, you're looking at Israel going to a place where they were indefensible, not able to protect themselves. If you missed some of our previous programs, we've talked about how Israel has now a unmanned surveillance vehicle, which is basically a motorized boat that functions like a drone that patrols their shores. I mean, they're so advanced in their technology. And one thing about Israel is that they will defend themselves. They're not going to stay idly by. And so we need to pay attention. We're just minutes away. I mean, we're in February, you know, March, April, and there's the beginning. And just recently, Iran was celebrating the anniversary of its revolution, and the Blaze reports that Iranians took to the streets, Pat, just Tuesday, to mark the anniversary of the 1979 Islamic Revolution, and they were holding anti-American signs, burning U.S., British, and Israeli flags, and chanting, "Down with the U.S. and death to Israel." I mean, this is recent. So although their new president Rouhani tries to put himself off as a diplomat, as one who, you know, is not trying to really stir anything up and is looking to, you know, work with Israel, he's not trying to work with Israel. Mm. You know, he is a wolf in sheep's clothing. And so it's important for us to take notice of the signs. It's important for us to pay attention to what God is communicating with us. And it's important for us to pray and stand with Israel. Listen, we will never be silent on this radio program regarding standing for Israel. And we want to encourage you not to remain silent either. I mean, there's coming days where it's not going to be popular to stand with Israel, but you have a choice to make. And we want to encourage you to stand with those who are standing with Israel, like Christians United for Israel, an organization that has deep roots and has had done a tremendous work. I believe over $80 million, Pat, John Hagee has raised through this organization to bless and support Israel.
Wow.
And that's just one group. I want to encourage you, support them and support those who stand for Israel. And let's stand together. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at vfntv.com. We'll be right back.
There's nothing like wisdom from those who have gone before us. I mean, think about it. Reverend Billy Graham has reached the world. He's being interviewed by Greta Van Susteren here on Fox News, and she's asking him a very important question. It's something that we talk about all the time about an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. But listen to the wisdom of Reverend Billy Graham as she asks him a very important question. We'll be right back.
If you were to do things over again, would you do it differently?
Yes. I would study more. I would pray more. Travel less. Take less speaking engagements. I took too many of them in too many places around the world. If I had to do over again, I'd spend more time in meditation and prayer and just telling the Lord how much I love Him and adore Him. And I'm looking forward to the time we're going to spend together for eternity.
Why would you speak less when you had such an enormous audience and people listening? Why would you want to speak less?
I didn't mean that I would speak less in these great stadiums. I meant that I would speak less at all kinds of conferences and things that I was invited to throughout the world, especially in Great Britain and the United States, because I'd get up and travel to those places, and I didn't have time to think and study and pray, and I needed time for that. And if I had to do it over again, I would try to organize it much better.
I mean, think about it. All this wisdom, and the Word of God tells us, imitate those that have gone before us. We can either start again like we have not borrowed the experience and grown from those wisdom that has gone before us, such as Reverend Billy Graham, or we could say, you know what? He's right. I'm going to apply the wisdom that he's learned in his life, and I'm going to begin to abide. In my schedule, in my time, it's going to be specifically how I love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. If you don't have a plan right now how to abide with God, this is what we talk about continually. Go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and request your simple plan today that we have available for you so you can begin to walk in this wisdom today. It's iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat Hamilton. And before the break, we were talking about the four blood moons, with the first one expected to come, Pat, April the 15th, days away.
Yeah, moments.
Moments away. And my goodness, I mean, if you've missed some of these previous segments, and we've talked about the four blood moons, we'll have all of them related for you today on today's segment. But I encourage you not only to listen to them, to prayerfully, you know, ask the Lord what you need to do to prepare, but also do your friends and your family a favor. Don't assume that they know. Share with them. Share with them the torch. Share with them these segments so that they can know and they can be prepared. Us working together, we can get the word out and folks can begin to see the bigger picture of what is happening and what is unfolding. And, you know, as you know, we've been talking about some of the things that are happening. I mean, you have weather patterns, Pat, that are just, I mean, out of the ordinary. When you have snow in Florida, catch a clue. When you have the economy that's literally teetering at any moment like dominoes, it's time to have a concern. When you have the Middle East is still a cup of trembling out there. I mean, you have so many things happening still with Syria with 100,000 deaths. My understanding now, there's 170,000 missiles aimed at Israel. You have the Arab Spring that occurred with Egypt. And you're looking around and you're saying, my goodness, on every front and in almost every place on the globe, there's something that is happening, something that's going on. Mm-hmm. And if you're not careful, you know, you can begin to get weary. You can even become afraid. And there's nothing to fear. You know, God is faithful. He's faithful to us. He's just letting us in and letting us know what is happening. And we want to encourage you today. Listen, the Lord is a faithful Father. He is hope and love himself. He's compassionate. He's gracious. He's full of mercy. Mm-hmm. And although he is sharing with us and letting us know that, listen, judgment is upon us, if we repent, if we cry out to him, if we seek him and humble our ways and acknowledge, Lord, we have sinned before you, things can turn. Mm-hmm. Things can turn. Things don't have to happen. And that is our desire, and that is our hope.
Right, and that's why it's so important to partner with us, so we can continue to be that trumpet, that clearing call.
Absolutely, absolutely. Partner. We have all different ways how you can do that just by going to VFNTV.com. We have worked very hard to try to put things together in a way that you can easily find it. There's ways for you to partner as a sponsor. There's ways for you to partner as an underwriter. Just go to VFNTV.com and you'll see the torch on the right hand in the center of the page, and you'll be able to follow, has some hands around the torch. Mm-hmm. That's your hands. That's our hands. That's all of us holding the torch together so that we can continue to keep the light in this dark world, and so that others can come and be informed and grow in the things of God. Listen, we can do this when we have our eyes focused on Jesus and on him alone, and when we have our ears attentive to his very word. Mm-hmm. But I want to encourage you that God is faithful, and he desires us to know him as a faithful Father. He wants us to be aware of this revelation and not to forget about it, that he is a ever-present help in the time of trouble. Mm-hmm. And I'm so grateful for that. You know what I mean? Because, you know, Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulations. You will have trouble. Not you might, you will. Mm-hmm. But then he also says, cheer up, because I've overcome the world.
That's right.
And you and God today are a majority. No matter what you're facing, listen, it could be economic. It can be a health issue. It could be a family, relational, marital problem. It could be your children. Listen, there's so many things that could happen to you on any given day, but you need to know that if you're a child of God, he's faithful. He's your faithful Father, and he'll watch over you, and he'll guide you, and he'll protect you, and that he's the one who will lead you and guide you into all truth. He's worthy of our trust. I mean, Revelation 19:11 says that the rider of the horse is called faithful and true. John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, he is what?
Faithful
and just. Oh my goodness. He's faithful and just. When he had to swear and make a covenant with Abraham, he couldn't find anyone higher, so he said, "Man, I'll just swear to myself, you know." You know? Because I'm faithful. I'm faithful. Psalms 89:14 says, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. And listen, God is faithful. So no matter what we're facing, remember that he has your back. And you and God are a majority. Think about Psalms 91. Mm-hmm. And it says that he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And that's so important, because if we're not, you know, God is our resting place. If we're not resting in who he is, if we're not resting in his faithfulness, if we're not resting in truth and revelation of what he has already done, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Think about that song. So when I think about the Lord and all he's done for me, It's important for us to meditate on the grandeur and the majesty and the supremacy and the awesomeness of our God, to constantly keep in our mind and in our spirit and in our meditation that heaven is his throne, that the earth is his footstool, that there's thousands of galaxies and we just happen to live in one of them. Listen, God has your number. He has his eye on you. You just have to remember that. You have to remember that. You got to come underneath. He says he will cover you with his feathers and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. I want to encourage you today, put your complete trust in the Lord today. He's faithful, he's true, and most of all, he loves you. The $50 Eye Guy, where they have everything from Rex to Specs. If you want to visit them today, they're right across from Home Depot in Pensacola. Visit a $50 Eye Guy today so you can see. AB Mobile Mechanics, fast, friendly, and fair. Everything from ACs to water pumps, on-site repair all over the Gulf Coast. Give them a call today. Contact ADTS, Security and Alarm Monitoring. If you want to secure your home or your business, contact them today for all of your security needs, cameras, monitoring, and even medical pendants. Do it today. Just Fishing Grits. If you're in the mood for some good Southern cooking, visit Just Fishing Grits today to dine in or to take out. You can have your meal on the go. It is good. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
Jesus himself said this. He said, the verdict is in. Bam. I mean, you remember the jury comes in and the judge ordering the court. They open the little piece of paper where your whole life could just like, what? And it opens it up and the verdict is in. And Jesus says, some people just love the prince of darkness. They just love darkness. They love the deeds you could do in darkness. There's some folks that just love Lucifer's stuff. You just dust your feet and you move on. This is the relationship. You can't, if you try to force somebody to have a relationship with God, you don't even have a concept of him, and secondly, you might not even know him. Besides, forced relationship by our own laws is called rape. You have to want to be with God. It's a choice. Which is so cool because God wants to be with you.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN Radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Like us.
Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.